Pastor Jeff Johnson will have us ponder over these questions today.
Are you ready? Are you trimming your life? Are you keeping short accounts with your God? When you blow it, are you humbling yourself and repenting of what you're doing and then turning away from it? Are you ready? Do you have oil in your lamp? The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Are you praying for God to fill you every day with His Spirit, to lead you and guide you by His Spirit? That's so important.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Recently on Sound Doctrine, we've been receiving God's encouragement and instruction for the difficult seasons in life through a study of 1 Peter. And that continues today. When you're going through a rough time, it's not a good time to recall Jesus' promises to come again. Not only will that encourage our hearts, but will give us perspective and help us persevere. Pastor Jeff has just a couple of verses in mind today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 8.
Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're doing a verse by verse through Peter. Great timing. I had no idea, but Peter was called to give those in critical days how they're to be living. And now, here we are, Peter's now encouraging us. He is the apostle of hope. That was his name. And encouraging during a time of great persecution and incredible suffering. Now he's encouraging us through the word in our times of persecution and suffering. Do you know that the church is on the hit list? I don't know if you knew that or not. People don't like the church. And the way things are going, they're trying to just kind of just put it aside. You know, you don't need that. You know, and so that's going on. And then with all the social things going on, this is crazy what's going on. And that's pressure, let alone losing your job, let alone not having the income you need, let alone just wondering what's going to happen the next day. So this is all just pressing in. That's part. We're not seeing blood. We're not seeing outward, persecution yet. It's coming. But we're seeing the inward onslaught of the lies of the enemy and of the false news and just all the stuff that's going on. So we are in the end times. Notice what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. What a statement. Be ye therefore, and then he starts telling us how to live. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You see, his stirring expectation was Rome was really, and they all saw it, coming to an end. Rome was burning. And because of that, Nero blamed the Christians. And because of that, thousands every day were being put into the slaughter and killed and lit up as lights, dipped in oil and lit up as lights as he would ride his chariot naked through his palace. I mean, it was crazy days. And everybody knew an end was coming to all of that. But the Christians also knew it was the end of their existence, they thought. And so Peter comes at a critical time. And this is a persecution that is ongoing. So time is running out, Peter's saying. True for all of us, when you think about it, we're all racing towards the day that we'll meet the Lord. And hopefully that's what you are saying. One of these days you're going to go home to be with the Lord. And if you can't say that, then you need to be able to get into that place and be able to say that, because the end of days is here. And we're just counting. You know, prophecy reveals that the end is near. All the way through the scriptures, one-third of the scriptures is about that which is to come. And it's come. It's happened. With all the nuclear threats around the world, food shortages, global economy is bankrupt. I mean, the things that are happening now is worldwide. Pollution, disease, new diseases. Whole earth is in travail. Exactly what it says in Romans chapter 8. That the whole earth would be in travail in the end times. The earth is crying out for the coming of the Lord. Turn with me. You're there at 1 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 3. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, making fun of the whole thing, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And notice verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and the promise is to come, he's coming, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing any would go into an eternity without the love of God, into an eternity of hell. So his long suffering. And then verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all your holy conversation, in the manner of your living and godliness? How should we be living? Now you have there in your bulletin a place for notes. If I was you, I'd write down these notes because he's going to give us 10 things as we go through this chapter. 10 things that we are to be doing during this period of time that we're living in. So when is this going to happen? Well, 1,000 years is as one day. So God's timing, and Jesus said it, behold, I come quickly, right? And when Jesus said it, it's been 2,000 years. So it's been 2 days. When's it going to happen? I don't know. But I don't know the day or the hour, but I do know the seasons, and the seasons fit. What does the seasons mean? Well, the prophecies being fulfilled, that everything that is talked about as far as last day prophecy is happening now. I mean, it's not just so happen. It's to wake everyone up. It's to wake us, the church, up to where we're at in God's timing. It's so important. So, the evil servant is the one that says, the Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, my grandma used to talk about coming of the Lord. He didn't come. He's not going to come for a long time. Wait a minute. The evil servant says that. Don't become that. Don't deny his coming. Peter says, get your house in order. The time is at hand. That was back then. What about today, knowing what we know now? Oh, man, we're without excuse. We've seen it all, heard it all. We know the time, the season. It's now. Jesus kind of puts an exclamation on that in Matthew 24. And he says in Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But then he says in verse 44, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. So it's when you start to say, he's not going to come. That's when he's going to come. And that's danger. No, we need to all be on the same page on this one. He can come at any moment. Be ready. Remember what Matthew 25 says? It talks about 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. They were all virgins. Everybody's saying, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but the 5 foolish ones, they didn't have their wicks trimmed. They didn't have oil in their lamps. The 5 wise had their wicks trimmed. I see that as your life just trimmed up, you know, always preparing yourself for the coming of the Lord. In other words, going on with the Lord, not backsliding, but going forward. letting the Lord take things out of your life, those sins that so easily beset you, giving them to the Lord and being delivered from them, becoming more of a rooted Christian, growing in your faith, knowing his coming is soon. It's so important. But he says there in verse 10, and those that were ready in Matthew 25 went in to the marriage feast. Are you ready? Are you trimming your life? Are you keeping short accounts with your God? When you blow it, are you humbling yourself and repenting of what you're doing and then turning away from it? Are you ready? Do you have oil in your lamp? The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Are you praying for God to fill you every day with his Spirit, to lead you and guide you by his Spirit? That's so important. So those ready went in. The fact is, the end is near, whether you die or he comes. And I think the latter is going to be the thing to happen. And it could be we would not even make it through this year. I mean, it could be any day. So what does the scripture say about this? Well, John, the Gospel of John was so close with the Lord. And in John 14, he wrote down what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be in fear. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you might be also. What a comfort. He's coming to take us unto himself, that we might be with him for eternity. Going on with this thought, Acts chapter 1, Acts 1 verse 11. This is when he was being taken up, and everybody was standing there watching him on Mount of Olives being taken up, ascending to the Father. And the angel said, why do you guys stand here gawking up, looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So as you see him going into heaven in the clouds, he's coming back in the cloud for his church. And we're going to be raptured out of here. And then over in 1 Corinthians, which we read every time we kind of get together for communion, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, and here's the catch-all, till he comes. So we're going to continue to take communion until he comes, and then we're going to have it in heaven with him. But he's coming is the thought. 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15, he says, for this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them that are asleep, or shall precede. It says prevent in the King James, but it means precede. They will go to be with the Lord, in other words. In verse 16, it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They've already risen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you die, a Christian, and it's not called you die, it's called asleep. I like that. When you fall asleep, boom, you wake up and there's Jesus. You're present with the Lord. And then he says, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And there's the rapture of the church. Those that are in the end times that are just waiting on his coming, he's going to take us up to meet them in the clouds. They're coming and meeting us. There's going to be a grand, just coming together of all of our loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord. That's why we have such hope as Christians. We know where our loved ones go. They're not lost. You didn't lose anybody. They went home. And you're going to be seeing them soon and very soon. So be encouraged. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I love it. So this is a great comfort. And Peter's right there during the time of trouble. He says, for us, to be sober. That means be vigilant right now more than ever. Not only that, be on guard. Watch it, because we are right there. Lamps trimmed, oil there, the end is near. And so we're each one step, one breath away from eternity. And that's what he was trying to share with the early church. Guys, don't worry about tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know the Lord. And so we press towards the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And we keep our eyes on him, not on what's going on. So when they were down there in the arena, marching two with their kids, holding hands, into the flame, they were singing songs. Their assurance was strong. They knew exactly what was going on. God help us. It's not going to get any better. So over in 1 Peter, we're there. So 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 11, he says this, 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts. Stay away from the lust of the flesh. Stay away from the world, the devil. Don't go that way. Which war against the soul. If you're messing around fornicating with your girlfriend or boyfriend, you're messing around doing stuff that you know, I don't have to tell you, the Holy Spirit is here in this world, convicting the world of what? Of sin. No one has to tell you that you're a sinner. You know it. So it's time to get right, or you'll be left behind. You don't want to be left behind. You need to get it right. So seek first his kingdom. Do you remember, this is going to date me, Olivia Newton-John. Anybody remember her? Okay, a number of you did. She did a whole thing on singing thing about let's get physical. And it was during those years of everybody, let's get physical, you know. And I thought, that's dumb. No, let's don't get physical. Let's get spiritual. Let's go that route. And that's exactly what Peter is saying here. Let's get spiritual. Why? Because life is too short. Over in Psalm 90. Listen to this. In verse 9 of Psalm 90, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. In other words, it's moving. It's moving quickly. The days of our years are 70. We get 70. And if by reason the strength they be 80, if we get up to 80 years old, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow with continuing to live and getting older and older? That's not fun. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. So be encouraged that thank God there's an end to it, that it doesn't continue the suffering upon this earth, but that there's an end to where all of a sudden the Lord comes for his church and takes us, even those that are waiting for him at any moment. So interesting, he says in verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Let's get wise. Let's start living like today is the last day. Let's start looking towards the end times. That's wisdom, that the Lord can come back at any moment. So, and then we fly away. I like that last bit. We just, boom, we're gone. So don't go out and say, well, I'm just going to have to quit my job because why work anymore? Anyhow, this pandemic, you know, I don't have a job, and so I'll just kick back and receive what income I can get from the government and just kick back and try to make the best of it with that, and I don't know if I'm going to go back to work or what. Well, that's what they were doing back then. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 in verse 11, check this out. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:12. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Their lives aren't in order, working not at all, but are busybodies. See, if you don't work, you start being a busybody. And that's not a good word. You get in everybody's business and you just go for it. You're doing things you never thought you'd do. And so don't do that. And don't think that by going to the desert and having your guns there and you got enough food. Remember year 2000? How many people freaked out at that, man, and ran away and had their fortress out there in Montana or somewhere like that? It's crazy. I mean, don't do that. Or how about charging up your credit cards? Because he's coming back, so I might as well just jack him up, you know? And then all of a sudden, he didn't come back. It's due day. You're going to jail, you know? That's not a good thing to do. So we got to be careful how we react. Remember 1 John 3:3. 1 John 3:3 is an interesting verse for all of us as Christians. Because this is the hope that he's saying, the hope that keeps us going. He that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. What hope? The hope of the coming of the Lord. It keeps you pure daily. It keeps you looking up. It keeps you wanting to please the Lord and not yourself. It keeps you eyes on him. So it just gets stronger and stronger as the days go by. And that's a powerful verse. Time is short, and we're being led by his Spirit, not conform to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Like right now, that's what's happening. God's word is renewing our minds. And this is a church that is on fire. This is a church that is evangelistically going for it. You see, when you leave this building, your missionary journey is just begun. That's your mission field as you leave this church. And we need to start looking at it that way. We need to start inviting people to come to church. That's how I got saved. That's why I'm so passionate about evangelism. You got to tell somebody. You got to go to a friend that you work with or a neighbor or those that you talk with frequently and just share with them. Just come with me. I'll buy breakfast. Man, come on. It's not a big deal. The walls aren't going to come down if you enter in. No, you'll see it's not that bad. Just come. Listen to what is being said, because the Holy Spirit is going to take over right from there. And I remember my drug supplier is the one that told me to go to church with him. I said, what are you, out of your mind? He just got saved 3 days earlier, and he went with his friends that he knew in the world. He went with his friends, and just so happened his friends had come to the Lord. They were going to go to Lake Smelsamore or Elsinore? Yeah. You know that mud hole out there? No. If you live there, forgive me. But it's pretty bad. But anyhow, they went out there, and they were going to go skiing, and they had a baptism. And he got witnessed to, and he was baptized. The next day, he comes to me, supposedly bringing drugs to my house. And I go, okay, where's the drugs? He goes, I don't have them. I said, what? You don't have them? What are you doing? Well, what I have, I'll give you. And he sat down with me and shared his journey, how he almost got busted in India and things were going bad. And then he went and got baptized. He received Christ. And now he's inviting me to go to church with him. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I guess so. I'll check it out, you know. I went loaded that night. I remember. And, man, I sat there and looked. That's it. I took it and changed my life.
You're listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. We've been considering what we're to do in the last days through a study of 1 Peter today. We'll hear the rest of this message next time. Catch a replay of today's Sound Doctrine by going online to sounddoctrineradio.org. That's sounddoctrineradio.org. You might also want to download our free app so you can listen to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. For those interested in a CD copy, for a suggested donation of $5, call us, 800-353-7553. Don't you just love this time of year as collectively we celebrate Christ and all that he accomplished on the cross and the glory of the empty tomb? Because Jesus lives, we can too. And that's the emphasis of a book we'd like to get into your hands. It's written by several Calvary Chapel pastors, titled Because He Lives. We're making it available right now for the special price of $5. Ordering is super easy at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call toll-free, 800-353-7553. As you give to this ministry, you're helping us cover the cost of being on this radio. And just think, countless thousands of people are hearing God's Word and applying it to their lives because of it. Perhaps one day in heaven, God will reveal to us just how much He accomplished through the radio and the generosity of listeners like you. Again, you can call us at 800-353-7553 or go to sounddoctrineradio.org on the web. We'll pick up where we left off in 1 Peter next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. Don't miss a moment of the journey. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,